big week of diplomacy is on tap with Vladimir Putin scheduled to meet the Iranian and Turkish presidents. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. And joining me in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So Putin's scheduled to meet Iranian President Hassan Rouhani in Baku today and with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in St. Petersburg tomorrow. Now, the simplest way to look at this is it's just an axis of dictators. It's just part of the broader alliance Putin's forging with the world's strongmen, so to speak. But there's also something subtler going on, I think. Both Iran and Turkey are potential competitors for Russia, Iran in the global energy market and Turkey in Syria as well as in the Black Sea region. And so like Russia's alliance with China, which is a competitor to Russia in Central Asia, this can probably only go so far. In the case of Iran, Putin appears to be trying to prevent it from getting too close to the West in the wake of the nuclear agreement and the end of sanctions. And in the case with Turkey, he appears to be taking advantage of the recent rapprochement and of Ankara's estrangement from the West after the recent coup attempt and to woo them away. What do you see going on here, Steve?
Yes, I mean, I think that's right. I think Putin will try to use both these meetings to take advantage of recent events. I mean, in terms of Turkey, as you said, to take advantage of the Western criticism of Turkey for his crackdown after the coup attempt, and also the sort of changing situation in Syria, where Russia is stronger than it was a year ago, and Assad is stronger than he was a year ago. With Turkey, I think basically Russia wants to shift Turkey toward Russia and away from the West. It's a NATO member that's being courted to some degree by the EU. So, you know, what better kind of for Putin, what better candidate for like a Trojan horse or at least a lever to undermine Western unity and to actually undermine NATO and the EU
if he can do that.
Yes. So, you know, in Russia's current mode of operations, you know, that seems like kind of a no-brainer in a way that he would try to use that to his advantage. Also, I think Putin will want to use the rapprochement with Erdogan and Turkey as an instrument for Russia to seek a solution to the Syrian war, or at least an outcome without a solution,
but they're still
on Russia's
there.
Own terms.
There's still competitors there, though.
No, absolutely.
And that's changed there.
Well, nothing's changed, but I mean, Assad's forces are stronger in a better position than they were before Russia's Russia's intervention with the airstrike campaign almost a year ago.
So Turkey's just the weaker party now, and they have to deal with that?
Weaker than it was then, and you have, you know, questions about the supply lines to the rebels, you know, from Turkey to the rebels. So I think the question of whether Turkey's insistence on seeing Assad out of power, you know, maybe wavering. So I think Russia will use the situation to try to, you know, at least advance its interests in terms of the Syrian war and get what it wants there. And with Iran, you know, I think also, as you say, it's a potential competitor of Russia. And that wasn't really the case as much before the nuclear deal and before Russia's intervention in Syria with the airstrikes last year. In the past, you know, they had fairly good relations. And Russia was mainly using Iran, it seemed, to as sort of a lever in relations with the U.S. Now it's more complicated because now with Russia's new heavy involvement in the Middle East, you know, they become, well, they're on the same side
in
the Syria war,
but
they're competitors for power essentially in the Middle East. So that adds some complexity, and I think after the nuclear deal, Iran's nuclear deal with the six nations and the world, which Russia was involved in, there's a lot of talk about big, you know, much better ties between Iran and Russia. Russia started delivering S-300 missile systems, but there's not that much concrete evidence of a real increase. Trade has not increased that much. It's pales in comparison to you know, Russia's trade with other countries. And so I think one thing Iran will be looking for here, and actually they've said as much, is kind of a way to really boost the relationship and maybe get some concrete commitments from Russia about stepping things up.
And Iran is operating with some leverage here because European energy companies are chomping at the bit to do business with Iran.
Right.
And so Iran is going to have some leverage here. At the end of the day, I think both of these things can only go so far. I think at the end of the day, if there's a possibility for serious trade with the West and energy deals with Europe, I think Iran's going to opt for that. I don't see how they don't.
Right, exactly. And sort of, you know, they can talk all they want about the great Satan. But as you say, I think that's true. And I mean, you see on both sides, Iran and Russia, kind of what may be a reluctance to go too far. I mean, Russia still seems to be using like its nuclear trade with building nuclear facilities and also the S-300 deal, arms deals, as more of a lever, you know, than sort of an actual cooperation in reality. I mean, we still don't know exactly what Iran has gotten, what components of the S-300s. So that seems to be continuing. And I think with Turkey, all the more, you know, there are more factors that limit the kind of future of them having a really sustainable or strong friendship or relationship.
Yeah, no, we've seen a lot of this alliance of the strong men. There's been a lot written about this, but I think it has its limits, but we'll keep keeping an eye on this. In another story making news this week, Russia's Paralympic team was banned from this year's games. And with the Olympics in Rio underway, 271 of Russia's 387 Olympic athletes were given the all clear, with only the track and field and weightlifting teams completely banned for over doping, with one exception of the track and field team, the pole vaulter who trained in the U.S. Mm-hmm. On the eve of the opening ceremony, the Court of Arbitration and Sport ruled that banning Russian athletes for previous doping incidents was unenforceable, opening the door for dozens more Russian athletes to be participating. So one way to look at this is that basically Russia dodged a bullet. The Moscow Times put it exactly that way today. Most of their teams are going to be in Rio. And while they're not going to be on top of the medals table, they're going to have a respectable haul when this is all over. So, I mean, really, did they just get away with this?
I guess the short answer is yes, because they are, as you say, sending, you know, the majority of their
they're still going to have one of the larger teams.
They're going to have, you know, the. So I think from Russia's point of view or from Putin's point of view, this is a pretty good outcome. It allows, you know, they'll have medals. They'll have many teams competing. Obviously, you know, track and field and weightlifting are a big deal, but, you know, they'll have many teams competing. They'll get medals. And I think it's going to allow them to look like or to portray themselves as both a victim and a victor. Like, yeah, they're going to be, you know, especially, I mean, with this Paralympic team being banned, you know, that's something that obviously the foreign ministry spoke out about, something like cruel and inhuman or something. You know, so it's sort of a microcosm of Russia fighting against, you know, the enemies, but yeah, by persevering. Compared to what we were seeing potentially a week or two ago, yeah, where it could have been a full ban. And I think this really, Russia is really dodging a bullet.
No, and they're going to be able to spin a sellable narrative for the domestic audience on all of this. Now, that said,
exactly,
at the Olympics, a swimmer was booed yesterday during a race. So there's things happening in during the Olympics themselves that aren't going to exactly play well on Russian TV. But at the end of the day, they seem to have come out of this a lot better than we thought they would. And at the end of the day, you'd have to say they got away with doping, essentially, which is unfortunate. Well, that's all we have time for today. We'll have to wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.